JRP.
Mm-hmm.
You trying to get me in trouble?
No, no. Just that, trying to ask you a general question.
Okay. All right.
You can always cut it out. like I don't have final cut in this.
That's true. Ladies and gentlemen, hello. You are officially have the most number of appearances on the Drunk Web. What's up, JRP?
What up, man? What up?
How's it going?
Good, good. It's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you. But also, if you put this picture that you and I are looking at ourselves next to the first time you and I did a podcast episode, I think we have aged. And it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to put on the same sweater, and then I realized that a year ago, I was wearing the same exact sweater.
Oh, God.
The last time you saw me. So I pivoted and wore.
Thank you.
This.
I appreciate it. By the way, you, thanks to your genes and your origins, you have not aged to me. I think you look the same. I think I'm the one who... Half of my face is now gray and the other half is wrinkles. So we're here now.
I think it's just because you have a better camera.
You see more details. Yeah.
Yeah. In HD. I'm 720p.
Dude, I'm in 4K. That's a bad move for anyone who looks like me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, okay. We're here. Salute everybody. I am drinking. This is a new thing. I've been drinking sweet vermouth.
Whoa!
You know my stomach problems. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. It's not even that it doesn't hurt as much. It's actually good for me. So it's sweet vermouth, which
straight sweet vermouth
on ice. Yeah.
What?
On this beautiful ice. So it's supposed to be not a digestive. The other one. Aperitivo or something.
Yeah.
So they drink it before dinner, mm-hmm. like an hour before dinner, because it's supposed to help with digestion. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to do is I want to show people this, and we'll get to some cool stuff. Ooh. We're talking about
programming. Autofocus.
I know. This is amazing because I learned this from TikTok. You fill your glass halfway up and then you tilt it and then you put it in the freezer like that. So you end up with this like 45 degree angle ice, which melts slower. Why you're shaking your head in disapproval, but I'm telling you, it lasts longer. Now check this out.
It melts slower. Is it go for it, sir.
It's not necessarily the angle that's supposed to have it last longer, but you know how you have like a sphere?
Mm-hmm.
It apparently melts slower than if you have a bunch of like crushed ice because it's more of it in terms of...
more mass.
Yeah. So if you have more of it, it's greater than the sum of all its parts, supposedly. So that's what I do, and it looks cool, and it's already melting. So... What are you drinking?
I am drinking a very southern drink, whiskey and tea. So
whiskey and tea. Well, my friend, salute. Good to see you.
It's good to see you, sir.
So JR and I had a conversation a little while ago, and I thought, man, I really want to talk about this and share it with someone, which is... The background is one of the things I love about being a programmer, being in the world of software, is that it's one of those things that translates to every industry. So that's one of the things that I say to like junior developers or people who are starting to learn how to code, which is you can, whatever else you're into, if you learn how to code, you can incorporate that other thing into your life. So Cato, my friend, who you know well, Cato is a personal trainer. So when he started coding, he wanted to build his own workout app for all his clients, not to sell or not to do, just to organize his own clients, right? There was this other friend of mine who's an artist, and he wanted to showcase all of his art in not just photos, but he wanted to like decorate them in like a cool way. And software was the way to do it. And so it's so awesome that we can do that with code and basically translate to everything else. But another side effect of that is that you don't have to work at a Facebook or a Google or an Amazon to make a difference, because the work that you're doing can affect anything and anyone and any movement. So I wanted to talk about your case and what you have decided to spend your time on for the past couple of years, I want to say, but I'll let you give us the timeline and the business and what you're doing with code. And yeah, so tell us about the industry, tell us about the company as much as you can share and what the mission is and all that. And then we'll come back and connect it to what I was saying.
Yeah. Thank you. From a software perspective, trying to make an impact on people is like something we all try to achieve, right? What are we doing spending 50 hours a week plus? What's all that being built towards, right? And a lot of the work that this company I'm with it, a lot of the work that we're doing here is hopefully going to benefit people at a very sensitive time in their life. So the company is called FreeWill, freewill.com specifically. And its main mission is to allow people to create a will for free, but also allow people to donate to charities in the meantime. So we provide a service where you're able to generate a will or some type of estate plan, not just a will, healthcare directive or power of attorney document, and also generate those documents for free. And in the process, also possibly give to organizations you care about. So as you've been on the application, you're able to give to a charity if you're inclined. You can find a charity near you and see if you can donate directly. You get all their information, so that way it's part of the document and it can be part of the entire state, last will and testament. And it makes it easier to give, right? Like 5%, 10%, something, whatever you can. And that has cumulatively raised over $2 billion for charity. So that's amazing to me. That's a huge impact for being around for a little over 2 years. And it's just only grown more and more. And this is only within the United States. So think of that impact, enabling people to just express like, hey, this is a very sensitive time in my life. I want this to happen. And I would like other people to benefit from this. Here you go. That like a very simple expression, right? And that was a main motivation for me to join this company. And that's been a huge drive every single day to kind of reassess on a daily basis. Is like, hey, what are we, why am I getting up in the morning, right? Like, why are we doing all this stuff? And I found this to be motivating. I found this to be a cause that I can definitely like justify saying like, hey, 50 hours of my week just to help people out. This is amazing. And I always wanted to be in a position where I can say that, where it's like, oh, hey, I'm waking up. I'm not just making a marketing site or like an advertisement page, right? I'm helping people do something or enabling them to do something, just like our friends, right? We are using software to enable us to do other things like in a much more efficient manner, or in a much more in a larger scope, right? Or doing something at scale, right? The fact that we can all chat with one another instantaneously, that's amazing, right? Mm-hmm. That's what technologies, that's what technology, or in my opinion, good technology is striving to achieve, right? We're not trying to do harm. We are trying to do good as best as we can. And I think that's an evolving cultural shift. Like before, correct me if I'm wrong, like I always felt people when they were in technology was like, oh, this is cool tech, right? Like if you were in the big telecom boom in the 80s and 90s, like it was because like you were nerding out about like potential options, right? It was about the tech. Now it's like technology has matured in such a way where you're just like, well, how can I leverage existing technologies to enable some type of impact? We're using technology effectively, and I think using technology to build stuff to help others. And I just think that that's a interesting evolution of how we create things or we productize things.
Yeah. No, it definitely is, and that's my point. So I want to make this really clear. You can work at a Facebook or an Amazon. You, sure, JRP, yeah, right? You are good enough to go to one of those companies, and there's nothing. there's nothing necessarily wrong. I think it's. I've never worked at Fang, they call it. But I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with working there. I think it is just a tremendous amount of things to learn from an engineering company like Facebook.
Yeah.
Putting aside the product, but product and the ethics of a company like Facebook right now is getting a serious punch in the face in the public forum, right? So put that aside, but the company itself is doing amazing engineering work. So it's, you could, if you really wanted to, go and work at one of those places. I sure probably could with some preparation. I could probably go get a job there. But that's exactly the point I'm making, is that people who can work at those places are now choosing not to and go to a place like Free Will because they find meaning in that work. And yeah, you probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably, hopefully, don't have to make too much of a compromise when it comes to the tech itself either, right? Yeah. So you kind of get, it's not like you have to go work with JSP, you know,
yeah,
in order to, because that's, let's face it, that was part of the reason why it was amazing to go and work at Google, is because they were doing all the cutting edge stuff. But cool then stuff, yeah, now you're finding that, especially in our world, a lot of things are so accessible, right? Yeah. With, you know, whatever tool you want to pick, but some of these modern tools, you can build anything you want at any company you wish. So people have more choices. And I love the fact that you made a decision, an active decision, not because you were forced to, but you make a decision every day to wake up and build something that you personally care about. That's, yeah, a really good message, right? Did I get that right? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think it's important to you know, still learn in those larger companies, but there's a threshold some people reach, right? Where it's just like, well, what am I doing? Like, right? A lot of times when people join those larger companies, especially now at their sizes, I think I've used this analogy a few times in discussions, but they're like part of a team that's just like one section of one thing, right? Like imagine being on a team that it wasn't even as good as like the thumbs up button on websites, right? Like that was a team of people, mm-hmm, doing like thumbs up, yeah, right? And now they're even relegated to a even smaller section where you're just like, I'm on the emoji team of the comments block, mm-hmm. right? Like that's a whole team,
right?
Of people prophesizing that, figuring out what the next iteration is, what the next feature set is. Oh man, are they going to move? Are they going to say hi? I'm not right. Like that's how granular it's gotten at those teams. And a big benefit of being in a smaller company is that you make a wider impact. You're responsible for a lot more because now you don't have the 10,000 other engineers to kind of rely on to do stuff for you. Like, oh, that other team's responsible for that.
You like the autonomy.
I like the breadth of the work, and I like the breadth of the product scope because it allows you to not just think about technology, but it allows you to think about the impact of the product as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an evolving thing for certain people. Like some people are just about the tech, right? What is the stack like? What is the day-to-day? But a lot of joy comes from, well, what service are we providing to people and how effective can we be with that service? And now we can figure out how to implement that service, right. As opposed to I need another like thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, but I mean, for a lot of people, it's a question of income, right? Hey, sure. I'm getting into tech because it pays well, and that's certainly a good reason to get in. But
absolutely.
But now I think the message that hopefully we're sending with this conversation is, it's not just that, right? You can make good money in tech, but you can also work on things that you care about. Yeah. And that's a double whammy, right? Yeah. That's really good news
yeah.
for people. What are some of the things that you can think of that you would do with your skills, with your experience as an engineer, that you think would be worthwhile?
There's a ton. I mean, there's just only so much time in a day, right? Like, I think connecting people to collaborate is a next evolution. With COVID, a huge emerging section is like enabling people to collaborate much more effectively. Right? Like how can I share code with somebody and pair program remotely? Mm-hmm. Only recently has that been like easy to do.
Or collaborate on video remotely.
On video, yeah. You know,
there may be some people doing that. I don't know.
There may be some people doing that nowadays. It's wild though, but right. Like think about it. Being able to pass something remotely before was like, hey, come over, check out my screen, right? Like I just need to work with you on something. But now it's a whole process to showcase something. And what would be something like if you were drawing something or you were illustrating a new poster, right? And you're trying to figure out, oh, where's this placement at? Giving live critiques, collaborating with someone. That's just like a human aspect to creativity. You can't automate that type of stuff. It's so mm-hmm. difficult. And some people like to work with others when doing that. How do we make that happen? I think that's something I'm very much interested in. And I want to be able to figure out a better way to record remotely and share that collaboratively. Like you've played music over Zoom, right? It's not ideal. It's not good. It's the latency is just bad. But
it blows my mind that games can do it, because games are a matter of millisecond when you play multiplayer, right?
Yeah.
I haven't played a game in over a decade, but I was shopping for a monitor and it's like the refresh rate is like this many milliseconds. I'm like, why do I care about that? Like
latency. Games. Yeah.
Yeah. So how can gamers do that? But music, because that relies on timing so much.
No.
Right. But you're right. It's not a good experience. You can't do it.
No, it's so difficult. And right, like I see, like, I see all the late night shows, they have all their musicians in like little squares. And I was just, I was just like, how are they practicing and jamming with one another? Not. There's no effing way. I have to have a drum track if I'm just playing something, just so I know. Right. And I have to have that silly thing. And that's I think a big hurdle. Cause like for gaming, that right now is crazy. That is wild right now, right? Especially in this space, being able to game live. It's crazy how easy and accessible it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but they're too good. Like, I'm not going on there. I'm going to get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
No way.
But it's not even being about good. It's about being entertaining. Like, a lot of those players aren't good, but they're just entertaining to watch. And that's the audience, right? Just like whenever you're performing, you don't have to be good.
Right.
Performing music, obviously. Yeah. You just have to be entertaining. And that's something I'm hoping to kind of figure out for people. Like, how can we play something, showcase something? Is it through Twitch and but still remotely and do it in sync? Right. Like that's a lot of math.
Yeah. Well, so to anyone listening, you know, think about a problem you have in your own life that other people might be having too. Chances are there's a way to do that, to fix it with software. So when you think about getting into this industry, or even if you are already in the industry and you've been working at some random company that gave you a job, think about what is important to you, and you can go and be in that sector. And recently I ended up at this new gig that I told you before our call. I'm having such a great time because the product is relevant to me. You know, like, I care about every single pixel that we're shipping, because to me, I'm the user. So I'm like, would I want this to be this way? Yeah. Yes. Then the joy of deployment goes from, oh, that felt great, to, oh my God, I can't believe we deployed that thing. It feels so amazing.
I can't wait to use it.
Right. And we are going to use it with this. So yeah. Awesome, man. This is great. I think this is kind of what I wanted to cover. Is there anything else you want to cover while we're here, while you have that beautiful background, which makes me super calm?
Super calm.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to ask in general, like, what has changed for you when it comes to the day-to-day, like, right, as you, how you work, how you stay productive, how do you... Yeah, there's going to be a lot of follow-up questions, but like, let's start with that. What's changed for you?
I need a round two now. See?
It's
too tempting. I have a really good answer for this, because I've had to analyze my own work and be extremely intentional with what I'm doing because of my new job. I can't just do everything because there's so much to do. There's so much to learn. I have to make sure I'm super efficient with my time. And that doesn't mean working hard, just working hard. It means working hard, but also working on things that matter. So I came to this job with an intention, with an idea, with an image in my head. And I get to build that image more and more every day, about 70% of my time. The other 30, I can't do anything about. I mean, it's you can't get to 100%. But if I can spend 70% of my time on the main thing, that's happiness.
That's a win.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Do you relate to that?
Yeah. It's especially in this atmosphere, I can relate to prioritization happening more. I sometimes feel, though, the prioritization can hinder the creative part. That's the thing I'm a little worried about in my head. But the organic, like spur of the moment creative bursts, right? That, right. That's just like in, it's not calculated.
Right.
This, a lot of this requires calculation, which as someone that does like to improvise, right? Like you're not playing jazz anymore.
Right.
So that, I hear you. That's a bummer.
But you need, so my calendar is fully booked, but the reason is it's actually not supposed to be fully booked. Anything that's open, I just book it myself and I defend it like any other meeting. And those are focus times. So once or twice a week, there's this chunk of 2-3 hour chunk where that's to play jazz. That's to just go explore. That's to go into the repo, and it's a fairly new one to me, and it's complex and it's big. It's to go in and find all the goodies and nuggets that I may not find if I just want to do it day to day. So you can still improvise, and you're very much an improvise type of person in every sense of the word. And you can still dedicate time to do that, but it's still organized and intentional. It's not because you can't focus and that you are you're distracted. You know, it's because you dedicate time. But I hear what you're saying. I was watching the first episode of Abstract on Netflix. Such a great documentary. Mm. Have you seen it?
Is it? It's like the design series, right?
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah. The first episode is this guy who is a cartoonist for The New Yorker.
Yeah.
And it was just on in the background, and I shouldn't be doing that because it's such a great documentary, but it was on, and I just don't want the news anymore. That's not good. So I had this thing on, and he said, I can't deliver my best work on a deadline, not because I'm not in favor of process, but because that's not how ideas come to me. Ideas come to me at 2 a.m. after I've been sketching for 16 hours in a row with nothing but coffee and toast.
Yeah.
You know? So you have a point there for sure. As someone who is managing a team of engineers, unfortunately, I have to schedule that.
Schedule
that. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, it's extremely relatable in that sense, you know? And there's still those moments and bursts where I'm like, oh, man, it's midnight. But you're just like, it's like something's happening, right? Yeah. And like, and I find some of the most creative moments still happening after grinding for about 10-12 hours, taking a break, getting coffee, toast, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and that inspiration hits, and when you're just like, I got it. Mm-hmm. Just do it, right? Like get it out of you. And oh man, it's still rewarding, but it's just like it doesn't There's just moments of it where it's just like, oh, okay. Well, like I'm not with other people. So it's like a weird, like self celebration moment rather than like, oh man, check this out. Dig it. I kind of want to ask another follow-up.
Okay.
What still inspires you?
I like to talk, you know, You ask me questions, I'll talk.
Yeah, we both do.
I don't know. I don't know who's still listening, but
there's enough.
What inspires me?
Yeah. What still inspires you?
Money. Only money. That's it.
I see.
Okay. I love. No. So this has happened a few times to me so far, and I hope it happens more. It's when someone says, you fought for me, and that made a difference in my day. Like, not that it changed the course of my career or it changed my life. It was like someone was being unreasonable and you stood up and did your job as the lead or EM or whatever title it is. And in that situation, if you weren't there, I would have had a worse day. But because you were there, I had a better day, which is such a weird thing to say, as, you know, there's so many other things that can, like good code, like delivery, you know, profit, bonus. But the thing that sticks with me, and I remember, if I like the things I tell my mom about, like that's important, right?
Yes.
Whatever gets to mom's ears matters.
Yeah.
Is when someone writes an email, and when I left, somebody wrote me an email from the previous team and said, you know, said a lot of amazing things that I was unaware of. But she said, you know, this is how I felt, and thank you for that. And I was like, shit, you know, how do you scale that? How do you do that all the time? How do you do that? Do you even want to do it all the time? Does it lose its value if it's there a lot? Maybe not. So that really inspires me to try to be, you know, whether that means, I don't know, be a better engineer or be a better manager, either of those, or maybe it's all of the above. That's super inspiring. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know the feeling I'm talking about? You probably do.
Yeah, I do.
You did that for a couple of folks who you left behind.
I did not leave.
No, but
leave behind.
But you left an impression. You built such a good foundation for a few folks there.
Hopefully.
And your name still comes up. You know?
Oh, so cute. So cute.
Well, up until 3 months ago, I was there. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Coming up. But
you would always come up.
It probably, yeah. All right, so nice. JRP, yeah, as we're closing out, the puppy comes in. Mm-hmm. Awesome chatting with you, man.
Yeah.
Good to see you. I miss you. I'm going to see you soon.
Yeah.
Fuck COVID. And let's do this again.
Yes.
And I want to say thank you, everyone who tuned in. And this isn't a... It looks like they sponsored the episode. They didn't. I just like this thing.
It's a good bottle.
Yeah, it's good. Vermouth. Good for Manhattan. All right, everybody. Have a great day. I hope you found this useful and inspiring. Until next time, I love you.
Cheers.